I'll remind the husbands that the basic objective of the study of the loving husband is not to just hit you over the head with a club, but the objective of this study is to make you realize that there is a great deal of territory to cover in the field of marriage. And you as a husband have been designed by God to fulfill your right woman, and the only way that you will ever do that is for you to be made aware of what your obligations are before God. And I would imagine most men do not really understand what a wonderful asset and value they do have in their wife, in that they have not fulfilled her as much as they could have. Surely I'm not saying that you men have not don't appreciate your wife. What I'm saying is that the more that you fill her, the more that you are a loving husband, the more you bring her to her greatest potential in life. So this is exploring the field of marriage with regard to the loving husband. And you as a husband may feel somewhat battered and bruised after all of this. And my advice to you in response to that would be for you not to get discouraged. And certainly I trust that the wife will not use this as some kind of a club on you to throw this in your face. Doctrine is not designed to be used as a means of beating someone down, but it is designed to bring you on to the levels that the Lord wants you to attain. So you who are here tonight and recognize that you have much territory to cover in the field of being a loving husband and being the kind of man that God wants you to be, you will take this truth that we study and you will take it as the basis for advancing in your Christian life. So don't sit very long and lick your wounds, and I'm sure they will come along the way, especially when we get through with the understanding husband of 1 Peter 3:7. Now let's look again at what verse 25 of chapter 5 is stating for us. The basis or the point of the passage is that the husbands in the congregation, the local church, keep on loving your wives, even as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. I'll not go on through the other verses that we covered this morning, but the basic point of Ephesians 5:25 is that it's the continual responsibility of the husband to love his right woman on a daily basis, consistently. And loving means that he will make decisions, constantly make decisions, which are for her benefit. So he thinks in terms of what is for her benefit, what will be best for her. It is therefore a self-sacrificing attitude, which he has. And this self-sacrificing attitude is demonstrated towards his right woman, and it increases in greater capacity as the years move along. And that is the command for the husband. And off of that, there are 14 points on the loving husband. Let me mention the first 9, and then we'll pick up with number 10 again. The first of which was this, that the husband's love for his wife protects her from slavery and misery. Secondly, the wife will not resent her responsibility of submission if she is loved by her husband. Thirdly, the husband is considerate of his wife's needs. He will seek to be a gentleman at all times toward his wife. He will not certainly treat women outside the home more considerate and treat them better than he does the wife, the woman in the home. Yet very often this is the case, where the man of the house will treat those with whom he has some type of a business relationship outside the home, he will treat those people better and be more courteous and thoughtful and kind to them than he is to his right woman. Fourthly, the husband cannot love his wife too much. There are no limits, really, to the maximum, to the degree to which a husband may love his wife. The fifth point, the husband's love is self-sacrificing. This is the chief characteristic. He'll always seek to do what is best for his right woman. That is his constant operating principle. Fifth or sixthly, the husband's love will result in the intake of doctrine. Seventhly, the husband's intake of Bible doctrine will enable him to fulfill his wife. Eighthly, the husband's love must be produced by the Holy Spirit. Ninthly, the husband's love for his wife is a vital part of his impact for Christ in this world. It represents Christ's love for the church. And number 10, The husband's love will not be marked by mental attitude sins. So we move on from that point now. Point 10, the doctrine of the loving husband. The husband's love will not be marked by mental attitude sins. 1 Corinthians in chapter 13 developed 16 characteristics of divine love. And it's interesting to note how many of those are stated, characteristics are stated in a negative way. His love will not be characterized by jealousy. Jealousy is not at any time a sign of true love. And my very strong advice to the teenagers has been in our courtship class on Sunday mornings, never mistake jealousy for love. Because some fellow is jealous of you, that may appeal to you in some ways, to think that someone is that possessive of you and wants you only for himself. That may appeal to your ego lust, but it is in no way an expression of true love. And if you marry someone who is extremely possessive and jealous, then you are setting yourself up for the worst tyranny you could ever want to experience. So therefore, jealousy or envy or bitterness, resentment, do not mark true love. These are not true love. And I'll have more to say about that with regard to the understanding husband. Number 11, the husband's love will not destroy. The husband's love, if the husband is loving his wife, he will not destroy his wife's ambitions and abilities. The loving husband will not seek to destroy his wife's ambition and her abilities. This ties in very closely with the jealousy part. This may happen to a man who is perhaps a bit insecure in his own field. Maybe he's just insecure in life as a whole. And then his wife goes outside the home and makes some achievements, and he becomes very jealous. I knew of a man once who had a regular job for a number of years and did well in that job. But his wife went outside the home at later on in life, when most of the children were out of the home, and she made an achievement. She went on to school and went into a particular field of study and got her degree, and got a very good job as a result of it. But in the process, you could see something beginning to crop up in his life, which revealed mental attitude sins and really a very limited capacity of love for her, is that he increasingly became jealous of her job and the attention that she got as a result of that job, other family members, that sort of thing. So obviously very insecure himself and became jealous of her, would go out of his way not to help her, not to encourage her, actually to try to discourage her. So the husband, the loving husband, will not seek to limit, to destroy, to malign, to make fun of his wife's abilities, her dreams. And you know what often happens is that the wife may be the dreamer of the two. I guess in most homes there usually is one who is more of a dreamer than the other, and it may very well often be the woman. And she is dreaming of things that she would like to do, perhaps a hobby or something. She would like to do that perhaps when the children are off to school and she has a little more free time. Well, the unloving husband is the one who makes light of that, who does not seek to encourage her along those lines. And the loving husband will take notice in what his wife wants to do, what her potentials are, and give her every opportunity to develop those skills. Principle number 12 with regard to the loving husband is that the loving husband is best benefited in life as he does what is beneficial for his wife. The loving husband is best benefited in life as he does what is beneficial for his wife. He will be greatly blessed because his wife's love becomes so strong for him. And I believe that is the point of verse 29 of chapter 5. Let no man ever hated his own flesh. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. The two are actually one. They constitute one person. And so the point is, the husband is best benefited in life as he does what is beneficial for his wife. As he loves his wife, he will receive love in return. So the husband is really doing himself a great favor by loving his wife and giving her the attention that she deserves. By making decisions which are for her benefit, he actually is benefiting himself. And he can hurt himself. Of course, the reverse is true. He actually hurts himself by hurting his wife. He thinks that he's getting in some good free licks. He thinks that it's not doing any damage maybe but to her. Maybe he thinks she deserves it. Or maybe he's just so naive he doesn't even know she's being hurt. But in the process, he is suffering. He is being hurt by it. And men, the greatest thing that you could ever do for yourself, and this is an extension of Category 5 love, loving yourself, which is a bona fide field of love properly understood, that the greatest thing that you can do for yourself is love your wife. As you love your wife, then you are fulfilling her, and her love will become stronger for you. So do yourself a favor. Love your wife. 13. The loving husband provides for his wife's needs. The loving husband provides for his wife's needs. He will provide for her physical needs, her social needs, as well as her spiritual needs. It's my design to develop this more extensively under 1 Peter 3:7. But let's state the principle nevertheless. The loving husband provides for his wife's needs. He gives her the time and the attention that she needs. The head is always concerned about the body. So men, never forget that though you are the head of the home, and certainly you have that authority given to you, that authority which is invested to you comes from Christ. The woman is under you by means of authority and subordination. Yet headship always means this. So you have to think of headship in terms of what Christ's headship means to the church. And what does Christ's headship mean to the church? It means that he fulfills the church. It means that he does what is best for the church. It means that he is making decisions, has made decisions, and has communicated his word, which reveals his will for the church. So the same thing is true with the man for the woman. Is the best thing that the man can do for the woman is to love her, because in so doing, he provides for her basic needs in that way. He understands what her needs would be in various areas. So he is the head of the home. He is concerned about her welfare. He will seek to make decisions which will be for her benefit. Number 14, the loving husband is concerned about those things which concern his wife. The loving husband is concerned about those things that which concern his wife. Her problems, the children, do you take time to listen? That brings up the problem of communication, which I intend to develop under the understanding husband in just a little bit. Point 14, the loving husband is concerned about those things which concern his wife. One of the greatest hazards that the husband runs in life is to presume upon his wife. She is always there, and then he presumes upon that fact and has not really taken the time to listen to her. She listens to him, but he doesn't listen to her. Do you take the time to listen to her? Do you know what she likes, doesn't like, her problems, and so forth? Now we need to turn to the understanding husband in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. So turn to 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. I didn't finish up with this one until about 6:15, so I'm still a little blurry from that. But I believe I will gather all my senses together somewhere along through here. I got to writing frantically. Frantically, it's at 5:30, 6 o'clock, because I kept getting a new breakthrough here and there. And I don't know where I'm going to insert some of these categories. I guess we'll have to save them for later on. I'll just stick them in a vault somewhere, and we'll draw them out later on. But this doctrine of the understanding husband blossomed this afternoon between the hours of 4 and 6. So let's get into it in 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 7. Now, we'll deal with those verses previous to that on the doctrine of the submitting wife. But we'll concentrate only now on verse 7 of 1 Peter 3. The subject, of course, has to do with those men in the church, local church, called husbands. Various sizes, shapes, assortments. Here it's from Peter's standpoint. This morning we saw Paul's approach to the husband. Now we have Peter's approach. He begins, first of all, by saying, in like manner. And the word in like manner is homoios. Looks like this. H-O-M-O-I-O-S. Homoios. And the word homoios, translated in like manner, could be translated likewise. It is drawing upon a comparison. And what this word in like manner is actually doing is that it is comparing the husband's responsibility to previous responsibilities. See, you even have to go back to verse 1 of chapter 3, in the same manner. And the in the same manner of verse 1 of chapter 3 even carries you back to chapter 2 in verse 18, where it says, servants, be subject to your husbands. So this is all really the flow of thought from Peter's pen, because he is simply taking various categories in the local church and showing them their respective responsibilities. So when he says in verse 7 of chapter 3, in like manner or likewise, he is stating the fact that the husbands have specific responsibilities and obligations in life. So immediately, husbands now come in for obligations before God. Now, what are they? All right? Obligations with regard to marriage. In like manner, ye husbands. And here again, we have hoi andres. It's like this. Hoi, the article, and andres, the plural. You husbands, the husbands. The hoi here, the article, the husbands. That particular type of male, which is he's legally called a husband. You husbands, you have an obligation in the field of marriage. Now, what is your obligation in the field of marriage? Ye husbands, dwell with them according to knowledge. Now, the dwelling with them, the them is a reference, of course, to the wife dealt with in verses 1 through 6. And the word to translated to dwell looks like this. It is sun, S-U-N-O-I-K-E-O. It's a compound Greek word, sun oikeo. And the word oikeo means to live, to dwell. And the word soon means with, to dwell with, to live with someone. This is the only time the word appears in the New Testament here. However, this word does appear in the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Old Testament, of the Hebrew Old Testament. And any number of cases, it refers to sexual relationship in right man, right woman. However, I do not believe that he's confining it to sexual relationship here. I think what he is really referring to, from the state of the point of the tense that he uses, it's a present tense, that husbands likewise living according to. He is talking about all of life's relationships with your wife, including sex. But he's talking about all of life shared with your right woman. So here we have, in like manner, you have obligations, the husbands, obligations in living life with your right woman. Now, he's going to amplify the area of obligation. So, dwelling with or living with them, well, that's not a very good translation of the concept because the word with them in the Greek is your wives or the wifely one, really. It's an adjective. So, it should be translated this way. The husbands, likewise, living according to knowledge, as with the weaker vessel, the wifely one. You live with the wifely one according to knowledge. Now, the wifely one is an adjective describing your spouse, and he does it for this purpose, because the wifely one is one who has a subordinate role. She is the one who is subordinated to your authority, and she is the one who is weaker physically. So that's why he's referring to her as the wifely one. It's a term to emphasize her femininity, in contrast to his masculinity. There are roles, and there is an area which has come under great assault in recent months and years, but don't be shot down on this point. Don't allow yourself to hedge on this. There are specific roles. Now, make sure those roles that are played are carried out, would be a better way of putting it. You never play at anything with regard to right man, right woman. But as you carry out your role as a husband or a wife, make sure that it's the role that the Bible designates and defines. So, in like manner, the husband's dwelling with them according to knowledge. And the word for knowledge here, the word looks like this. It is G-N-O-S-I-S, gnosis. Now, he's not talking about just legal responsibilities here or just common knowledge of the human race. The gnosis referred to here is Bible doctrine. So it's this way. You husbands, likewise, that is, you have responsibilities in the field of marriage as well. Even though six verses have been dedicated to the wife, you also have a field of area of responsibility, living with the wifely one according to, and I didn't place that particular word up here, but it ought to be focused upon because it means according to a norm or a standard, according to gnosis, which would be doctrine. That is, husbands, doctrine is the basis for defining, for delimiting, for putting the limits on, for understanding the relationship with your wife. So you do not find out how to treat your right woman by how the other men treat their right women. You know, you don't go to the office or to the factory or wherever and find out how things are going with other relationships and then figure, well, if I'm just a little bit better off than they are, so things must be all right. You'll always find somebody who's got a more miserable experience than you. You know, you'll always find plenty of fellows, their wives running around on them, they're chasing themselves. Maybe they haven't spoken to their wife in a couple of weeks or months. And so you find out that, and then your own problems may then sort of pale into insignificance into comparison to what some others are going through, so you must think then everything's all right. The point is, you do not make your basis for living with your right woman someone else's problems, and therefore basing your standards on relativity is what you're doing. You know, I'm not as bad off as he is, so we must be all right. The point is that you base your standards for living with your right woman on the basis of doctrine. So, you husbands, likewise, living with the wife, the wifely one, according to doctrine in an understanding way, and then the phrase, the weaker vessel. Now, the King James has got the words arranged in a different fashion, so I'm arranging them accordingly. And it says, with the weaker vessel. So let's deal with that before we go back and pick up the giving honor unto the wife. But let's take the phrase, living with the weaker vessel. Let's look at the word weaker. It is the word asthenes. It looks like this, A-S-T-H-E-N-E-S. And it comes from two words. Well, this word out here, A, is what is called in the Greek an alpha privative. That is simply, it serves the same purpose as our prefix, like we have the word non, like non-descriptive, non-complementary. Well, that A serves as the same purpose, making it a negative. The root of the word is this word here, and it's S-T-H-E-N-O-S, sthenos. And sthenos means strength, physical strength. So putting the A out here in front, meaning the one who is weaker physically. That is the way she is the weaker vessel. Now this verse, you say, stories about the wife is able, the woman is able to bear more pain than the man and so forth. If a man had to have children, they would kill him. Well, I guess he would. He wasn't designed for it. That argument's never made a whole lot of sense to me. It would kill a man. As a rule, women are the weaker physically. I mean, we could have a simple little test right here. It wouldn't be according to scientific standards, but all we'd have to do is say put up a 120-pound barbell up here and let's see who can lift it. I think I would be safe to say that the men would come out on top in pressing the weight. Now, you see, this passage isn't to be construed to mean that because the husband is the stronger one physically, that somehow he is the superior. That's the point. Is not here superiority versus inferiority. It's just stating a fact that the husband was made to be the stronger person. He is stronger physically, as a rule. Now, there are some exceptions. Take the road race program that I run in throughout the year. There are very few ladies who run, say, 5 and 6 miles in these races. But occasionally, there are some. I remember the first race that I ran. It was quite a humbling experience. This was about 2.5 years ago. I recall the occasion of running up Peachtree Street in the heat and about feeling that I was just about to die. And a couple of things happened. One, about a 60-year-old woman, I think, passed me at one occasion. And then on another occasion, a young lady in her 20s passed me, and she probably could outrun just about every man in this room as well. Fortunately, since that time, though, I've been able to beat her most of the time, but I wasn't there at first. So there are exceptions. Now, you don't find the average woman being able to go out and run 6 miles and beat most men. And this is recognized in the fact that you have in professional sports, you have like the women's tennis, men's tennis, women's golf, men's golf. You have divisions in all these fields. And I think it's just a basic recognition of the fact that the woman is the weaker vessel, not inferior, just a weaker physically. And the concept of weaker physically is, of course, the basis of the husband's responsibility to protect his wife. Well, let's see what he says with regard to with a weaker vessel and the husband and his responsibility to her. So as with the weaker vessel, since she is a woman, translate, the wifely one, translation, therefore, verse 7 up to this point, you husbands, the husbands, likewise, living with your wives in an understanding way, as with a weaker vessel, since she is the wifely one. Now, we have the phrase, giving honor unto the wife. And giving honor unto the wife is actually two words here. First word is aponemo. Looks like this, A-P-O-N-E-M-O. That's the word that's translated in the King James giving. The word aponemo It's a compound Greek word. This word means from the source of oneself, and this word here means to distribute something. So the idea here is assigning to her, giving to her what she deserves, and what you are to assign to her, to give to her, is this. You are to give to her from the source of yourself honor, and the word honor here is time, T-I-M-E, time, and this means recognition of her value and worth. You recognize her value and you put a proper evaluation upon her. And the only way that you can do that is, of course, on the basis of doctrine. What is her, what is she like, and so forth. Well, you may not think you know a lot about women. Well, the way to find out is through doctrine. Maybe you didn't have any sisters, and maybe you don't know women very well. Well, you do not need to be limited, therefore. You can, through the understanding of the Word of God as the basis, will serve as the basis for putting the proper evaluation upon your right woman, understanding and appreciating her. So therefore, the husbands will do this, since she is a wifely one, granting her proper evaluation. And then he says, with regard to sharing something, being heirs together of the grace of life. Grace is the word charitas. Looks like this, C-H-A-R-I-T-O-S, charitas. Charis, from the word charis, which means grace. And the grace of life here, I take it, is a reference to the fact that they both share in eternal life. They both share in eternal life. Therefore, not only is he concerned about her physical well-being, since he is her protector, he is concerned about her spiritual well-being, since they both share eternal life together. They're both in the body of Christ, and he has particular obligations with regard to her spiritual welfare. And then he adds the statement, in or that, with a view to that ultimate purpose, your prayers be not hindered. And the word hindered looks like this, E-G-K-O-P-T-O, ekopto. And this word to kopto here means to cut. And this idea to cut into. So do not allow marital problems to cut into and to hinder your prayer life, because marital problems inevitably result in mental attitude sins, or are brought about by mental attitude sins, so you cannot pray with the wifely one. All right, now that we've taken the verse apart and analyzed it, let's put it all back together again under the doctrine of the understanding husband, and this will send the husbands finally reeling and rocking. And wives, they're going to need the doctrine, you may need the doctrine of the loving wife before this one's over tonight, because you're going to have to be understanding. And understand that you don't have the perfect, maybe some of you have to be convinced of that. Others of you, you're going to have to exercise the fact that you do not have the perfect husband, and he may need some consoling on the way home tonight. Just perhaps a pat on the kneecap or something to reassure him, let him know that you're still there and that you're for him all the way. Okay, let's get the understanding husband. The understanding husband, 11 points. Understanding husband, 11 points. Or in other words, who opens the lids? We have an alternative description of this doctrine. The loving husband, or who opens the lids? All right, that statement will become more clear as we get through the points. All right, number one, a successful marriage demands mutual responsibility. A successful marriage demands mutual responsibility. Obligations are laid upon both partners. And the way I've designed this study, of course, is to emphasize that truth. And I mention it here by way of a principle, because the husbands now are to concentrate on fulfilling their own obligations. So therefore, you will not use your elbow next week on the submitting wife. You'll probably be sitting around still working on carrying out your responsibilities, and I hope we've thrown enough good licks to you'll be so concentrated on your own particular needs and problems that you won't be pounding away at your wife on how much of a failure she may or may not be. A successful marriage demands mutual responsibility. Likewise, the husbands. You have a field of responsibility in marriage. And the better, you'll both be better off. Here's doctrine. Here's the wife. Here's the husband. You are both better off if you get with your own mutual responsibility and carry that out. In other words, here's an area where you had better tend to your own knitting. And if you're all occupied with straightening your husband out, or you want to straighten your wife out, she needs to be cleared up on this. He needs to be cleared up on that. That probably indicates a little problem right there, because you think they need all the help. Well, you're the one that needs the help, and that's the one you ought to concentrate on. But I've had husbands and wives come to me, wives, my husband, he needs help here, he needs help there, and so on. Well, all right. You know what 1 Peter 3:1-6 says about how to deal with your husband? Deal with yourself. You develop inner beauty. So you just concentrate on your own self, your own needs. Go out here, try to reconstruction process on your husband. Well, you probably get very far anyway if you do. Try to harass him a little bit, nag him, get on his back. You probably just won't see him quite as often. That's what will happen. So therefore, both of you recognize your mutual responsibility and get with it. Number two, the understanding husband looks upon marriage as a sacred trust. I have you to look at it this way. God has given to you, men, you husbands, God has given to you a wife, He's given to you children, or will give to you children. He holds you responsible for the way you carry out your obligations to your wife and to your children. And part of being an understanding husband is that you are willing to accept your responsibility and carry it out. And you aren't a gold bricker. You aren't always trying to pass the buck. Blame it on your wife. Blame it on your in-laws. Blame it on your job. Blame it on your own home. You say, I've had some males say this, well, you know, my mother and my dad, they just were this way. And you want to blame it all on something that the way your mother treated you, or the lack of attention that you got, or you didn't get this, or you didn't get that. You must face your own responsibility in this area, and the understanding husband must view his marital relationship as a sacred trust from God, and you are obligated to God to carry it out before Him. He is holding you responsible for what you make of your marriage. And don't you worry about your wife and what she's making of the marriage. That's between her and the Lord, and that will come around in time. So the understanding husband accepts his responsibility and his role of leadership. Number three, the understanding husband bases his responsibilities on Bible doctrine. The understanding husband bases his responsibilities on Bible doctrine. He shares life with his right woman according to the norms and standards of doctrine. Gnosis. The understanding husband bases his responsibilities on Bible doctrine. He looks beyond the mere legal requirements, providing a home and that sort of thing. Do not limit yourself by just viewing your legal responsibilities as being the fulfillment of your marital responsibilities before God. As long as you bring home the bacon, provide a house, and don't get sued for failure to support or something like that. Why, anybody can do that, and that is what Paul says in 1 Timothy. Why, even the unbelievers at least do that, provide for their own. And if you don't even provide for your own, you're worse than an unbeliever, 1 Timothy 5. So your obligations go way beyond that. I hope you don't sit around and really pat yourself on the back because you bring home the bacon. I mean, let's face it, most everybody does that. Now, I know you'll find some bums here and there don't do it. I've met them in jails. I haven't been there with them. I have been on the other side of the bars. But I have met those types. They're there for failure support. They've run away. I know there are a lot of those bums. And in our society, unfortunately, that type is increasing. But, I mean, don't give yourself a pat on the back just because you are the breadwinner. All right, that's your basic obligation, whether you are a believer or not. Now, you've got a much greater field to develop than that. Number four, the understanding husband recognizes his wife as the weaker vessel. She has a less amount of physical strength than the man. He, therefore, provides protection for his wife's body and soul. You are responsible for protection of your wife's body and soul. Now, you know, people in a bygone generation operated on this concept of protecting woman. She is put on a pedestal. She is something special. She is very special. Many laws, therefore, were developed to protect her special status. Now, I'm not sneaking in here a plea for all laws. I'm just saying that many laws that were written into the books were written into there by people who did know some Bible doctrine. And they looked upon the woman as being something special, something unique, someone to be protected. But, of course, now, many of these laws are coming under fire because many people are rejecting this concept, rejecting this biblical doctrine of protection. And there are those who would like to put the woman on the firing line, put her into combat right with a man. It was never designed that way in God's plan. So therefore, the understanding husband recognizes his wife as the weaker vessel. She has a less amount of physical strength than the man. And, women like to have their right man, I guess most of them do, like him to feel that he is the stronger. I guess it always comes up like, well, will you open the lid? You know, that's comes forward, you know, and takes the jar. She struggled, you know, and then he takes it, you know, and just flips it right off, hands it back to her. And his male ego has been greatly enhanced. And, of course, a lot of you ladies, you're shrewd in that field. You know that maybe if you really worked at it, you may have could have gotten it. But that always makes him feel better. So who opens the lid? That's a sure sign of the fact that the male is the stronger. But the strength that he has been given to him by God for a purpose. And that purpose is for the protection of the wife's body as well as soul. Point five, the understanding husband will not take advantage of his wife physically. The understanding husband will not take advantage of his wife physically. This, of course, is application of the fact that she is the weaker vessel physically, and he lives with her in an understanding way. He will not take advantage of her physically. He will never abuse her. He will not push her around. And the man who strikes a woman is worse than an animal. And those types I've never had a great deal of sympathy for. And I think one of the most pitiful things to ever see is a woman that has to talk about, give an account of her husband beating her, giving her a black eye. A male like that, I know this wouldn't be according to biblical standard, but sometimes I'd like to give them a fat lip. But that wouldn't be right either. And after all, they may turn around and whoop up on me. So we'll just we'll keep it on the basis that they're pitiful. But the man who has to push around and physically abuse a woman is a tragedy in every sense of the term. And I'm going to develop this in three areas, this same principle. I take this physical strength principle and not abusing his wife physically, I'd like to expand it into three areas. Number one, this means that he will look out for her safety. This means that you right men are responsible for looking out for your wife's safety. That's why it is your job to look out after the general care of the home, the major things, the safety of the home, of the automobile. I personally don't think the man ought to leave it up to the wife to look after the automobile, unless she is really some kind of a whiz-bang when it comes to mechanics. And I haven't met too many women in that field who developed that field in mechanics. I think it's the man's responsibility to look out after his right woman, provide for her safety by looking out after such things as the safety of the home, the safety of the automobile, especially with the way things are these days and the danger that a woman runs by being caught off somewhere with an automobile that won't work or some other hazard that's come along, which could have been prevented. Now, there are always, obviously, those things that can't be prevented. But wherever you have an opportunity for preventative maintenance, see to it. That's part of your job of protecting your wife. So, therefore, these areas are his responsibility, taking care of the automobile and so forth. Also, another field in which I would make this application will be that he will be considerate of her physical condition. He will be considerate of her physical condition. Now, of course, we all know that a woman, the wife, you men know that your wife is either pre or post something. And so therefore, you men are going to have to appreciate that fact and trust that the woman is not just using that as some kind of a escape valve, but you're going to have to recognize that fact and you're going to have to be understanding for her physical needs. Some men never really learn that. You know, they never have those problems and they're always feeling great. They can't see why she's feeling so lousy. You need to get out and run five laps, dear. So understand the woman's physical condition and be sensitive to that sort of thing. And then also, he will be a good provider. He will be a good provider. And looking after her health and he will carry out the extension of the truth of Song of Solomon. Was it last Sunday morning? We talked about Solomon looking at his right woman's teeth and they being like a freshly shorn sheath. So therefore, he'll look after her dental work. He'll look after her physical needs, in other words. So he'll want to maintain the equipment that he has, his weaker vessel, maintain, look after, provide for. Number six now, principle six. The understanding husband recognizes that he shares eternal life with his right woman. The understanding husband recognizes that he shares eternal life with his right woman and will be considerate of her spiritual needs. So you see, the husband is not only responsible to watch out for his wife physically, but he is to look out after her spiritual needs as well. They are joint heirs of eternal life. Now, I'm not excluding the fact that they're obviously heirs of physical life. That comes in under the responsibility that he has as protector. But also, it includes the fact that they both are recipients of grace. So, as a result, he will recognize that he shares eternal life with his right woman and will be considerate of her spiritual needs. So I will mention three areas in which this will work out. One, he will look out after her spiritual well-being to see to it that she gets Bible doctrine. Now, my observation is that usually isn't the way it has to work. It's usually the other way, that somehow the wife has to look out and see that her husband, right man, gets Bible doctrine. He tends to think that he can get along without it. You know, the old self-sustaining male type. He thinks he is self-sustaining, independent, self-sufficient, that sort of thing. And he tends to, therefore, let that apply in terms of doctrine, and then that's his Waterloo. That's his downfall. Well, I'm putting it here in the reverse plane, that the husband is responsible for seeing to it that his wife gets doctrine. Men, do you see to it that your wife gets the word? If she has to be shut in with the children, she has to spend time away from the local assembly where she can get teaching. Do you see to it somehow or another she gets teaching? Look, you should allow your wife. And she can get weak in this area, she can fail in this area, neglect in this area, and it's your responsibility to see to it that she does not neglect this field. Taking in the Word of God, you make sure, with regard to her intake of doctrine, her prayer life, and so on, without trying to run her life. But you do look after her spiritual well-being. And then also this field, this area of sharing eternal life, applies to the area that you'll want to share spiritual experiences together. You'll want to share prayer life together. You'll want to share spiritual experiences together. Of course, this enters into the problem of communication. You know, the husband will... It's always fascinating when you get two or more couples together and the men begin to talk, and then the wife finds out about something that happened 2 years ago and she didn't even know it, but all the fellas knew it. And it's often easier for the men to communicate to the men than to their wives. Maybe an answer to prayer. Maybe someone you've witnessed to. Have you ever thought that it'd be great to share these experiences with your wife and not just in camaraderie with fellow males? Of course, it's wonderful in both areas, but do not fail to share spiritual experiences with your wife. And then also, involved in the same sixth principle, is that you do not want to treat her on a non-grace basis. Putting it negatively, putting it positively, treat her on a grace basis. And you know what I mean by that? You treat her not according to the way she treats you, but you treat her like God treats you on a grace basis. If God treated you like you deserve, you'd be wiped out in a minute. So you do not treat your wife on a non-grace basis. That is, you know, you're going to be nice to her, she's nice to you. If she's sweet to you, kisses you, talks to you, and fixes your favorite meal, well, then you'll be nice to her. But if she's going to be grumpy, if she's going to avoid you, or if she's going to be a little on edge, that sort of thing, then you'll just dish it right back. You do not treat your right woman on a non-grace basis. You share together the grace of life. All right, principle number 7 on the understanding husband. The understanding husband places proper evaluation upon his wife. The understanding husband places proper evaluation on his wife. This means that he appreciates her value and worth. He needs her, and he is responsible for her. The understanding husband places proper evaluation upon his wife. He must value her. She is unique. She is special. He needs her. God has designed her for him. And therefore, she should never be given the impression in any way that you can do without her. And some of you males, you like to be. They give the impression how independent you are. You've been told how independent you are. And it's gone to your head. And you think that therefore, being so independent, all you need to do, you know, is like, I could just live out in the North Woods somewhere. All I need is my dog and my sled, and I could just live by myself in the North Woods. You could not either. God has designed the right woman for you. Now, if God's given you the gift of celibacy, and you have a ministry to the Eskimos or something, that's understandable. But other than that, you cannot live without your right woman. She is special to you. You need her. You need her in every sense of the word. So don't you get fat-headed about this idea. Sure, you're independent. Everybody's got a streak of that in them. I didn't know anybody wasn't independent in some way or another. But, you know, your mother told you you were independent, and everybody else told you that, so you just like, that means I can be independent of my wife. I don't need her. You sure do. And she needs to know that you need her. And let me develop this under three other points to make you exactly sure that what I mean here, that this means that you will be considerate of her feelings. Her feelings will not be a welcome mat at the front door, but her feelings will be something special to you. And, of course, the woman, as a rule, you're going to have to especially watch out for that delicate creature with her emotions as finely tuned as they are. Now, it may take a while to get through to you through your emotions. And, you know, the husband and the wife watch a tearjerker. And the wife, well, she's bawling all over the place. The husband, either he is unmoved or he's rolling his eyeballs around and scratching his eye or something, you know, or clearing his throat. But he's the rugged type. I never cry. Rolls his eyeballs some more. But you're dealing with a very delicate creature there with your wife. Well, she'll just break out in tears over the least little thing sometimes. That doesn't necessarily mean she's unstable. She's just a finely tuned engine, that's all. And a finely tuned engine needs special care. And you have got to watch out for her feelings and not walk roughshod over her feelings. Secondly, this means that you will seek to be considerate of her likes and dislikes. So obviously you can't appreciate what her likes and dislikes are unless you know what they are. And that means spending time and participating in things together. But you will be considerate of her likes and dislikes. This means, men, that you're not going to embarrass her in front of other people. And you're not going to chew her out in front of other people. Well, there's never any excuse for that. Never. Now, if you've got to have a few words together, draw up your square somewhere else besides in front of it. Don't invite an audience and sell tickets. I guess some types really think this is, we'll give everybody a chance to watch the show and square off and let her have it and just really embarrass her in front of other people. I don't know that there's ever any excuse for that sort of thing. Embarrassing her, putting her down, saying something that you know hurts her and you know her well enough to know that what you've just said wounded her. And you think you've really gotten a great point, but it's been at someone else's expense, your right woman's expense. This also develops in a third area, is that you will not take her for granted. You will not take your right woman for granted. And if there is one complaint that comes from women, it is this, that does come quite frequently. I don't feel needed. I don't feel wanted or cared for. The husband just presumes upon her. As long as she's there when he comes home, then he figures everything is all right. So his life, you recall, has a different orientation. His life all day long has been built around other things, business ventures, decisions at work, other people, his friends, and so forth. Well, he comes home, her life, as a rule, has been really built around him that day. Meals, clothes, everything. And so her life is oriented to a right man, whereas just by natural consequences, his life is not built around her. So men, you're going to have to recognize that fact. And you're going to have to realize that when she buys clothes, when she wants to decorate the house, that she has you in mind. So please be sensitive to these things. And you walk in and she has put something special in a certain spot. And so maybe 2 months later you realize, when did this get here? And it's by that time it's gathered dust and it's time for something else. Or maybe it's something, a new dress. Now, I know men have to develop sensitivity in this field. You may be the type that you walk away from a gathering and you say, I tend to be this way. You ask me 20 minutes later what so-and-so had on that, and I don't remember. I can't tell you whether they had on a long dress, a pantsuit, whether it was polka dot or green. So men may run a danger in this field, but it can be overcome. Number 8 in the matter of the understanding husband, the 8th principle, is that the understanding husband will want to know his right woman and make an effort to understand his right woman. So the understanding husband will want to know his right woman and will make an effort to understand her. This means 3 things. It means, number 1, it obviously takes time. And if you don't spend time together, then you can't do this. course, it's not just time, it's the quality of time. You can spend together and stay at one another's neck the whole time, so obviously you haven't accomplished much. And for some families, they're better off if they don't spend a whole lot of time together. But it's not designed to be that way. So the understanding husband will want to live, will want to know his right woman, and make an effort to understand his right woman. And therefore, it takes time, number one. Number two, it takes forethought. You have to make plans ahead. And number three, it takes communication. It takes communication. Now, at this point, you need six principles on communication. But I cannot communicate to you when we're over time. And I certainly don't want to cut short communication. And I have six principles on the doctrine of communication. I consider it so important, and I started breaking into this. I had a few principles here and there on communication. And then I broke into the area of communication, realized how Matthew 18 fits in here. Matthew 7, I figured out, realized how the principle of the log and the toothpick fits in here. And in Matthew 7, 3 through 5, that we've got some important principles here on communication, which I think I'm convinced is the root of a lot of family problems. Because in many cases, you know, the husband and wife, often when I have couples come to me and they sit there and they start talking to me, they start finding out a lot of things about one another. Well, Miss Gray, I didn't know you felt that way. You mean you thought that? I didn't know that. I've been living together 15 years. And I'm just watching, you know, and they're finding all these great things out about one another. I feel delighted that I'm able to serve some usefulness. So to help you out to know one another better, we need to develop the field of communication, which is simply the interchange of thoughts and opinions. And that demands several things. But to give it proper treatment, I'll slip this in first thing next Sunday morning before we go into the submitting wife. And I believe personally this will help a lot here. Plus, I have several other principles on the understanding husband. So we'll have a bit of an overlap, but we'll have to do it that way. We're out of time. Let's close in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we're thankful for the specifics now in this field of marriage with regard to the husband. And my prayer at this point is for all of us who have our responsibility as husbands, that, Father, that we will have the willingness to carry these things out, not, Father, just to do it as somehow carrying out some sort of a legal responsibility before you, but really, Father, to develop the field of marriage and life as it should be developed to reflect your glory. Thank you for the Holy Spirit who makes this possible, who gives us the sustaining power, the impetus in this area. Thank you for his ministry, and may these principles be carried out even this week in a special way. We ask that in Christ's name. Amen.